baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So thrilled to be joined by today's guest. The first guest we ever had on the walk-off. Our guest with now the most appearances. This is his fourth. A guy who has listened to us right from day one. And being that this is episode 68, Yarimer Yager's number, I figured it was appropriate and a must to have him back. The driving force behind the traveling Yagers, Trevor Freeman. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Good to see you, boys.
How do you like that intro, eh?
That's a pretty great intro. I don't know if I've listened to everything. I've heard everything.
That's a fine distinction for sure.
I didn't say hello enough to Adam in our preamble either. And I don't know if I've ever seen a better hat than that white hat, Adam.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, hat. Eh? Thank you.
Spectacular.
My wife and daughter picked that out for me. I think it was a Father's Day gift. So.
It's his showcase hat. He gets a lot of compliments on it.
Nice. I only break it out for our best guests. So. Well, that one and the Oh My Apparel one behind me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Don't give Duncan too many pumps. What's happened since we talked last, boys? You guys are really killing it, and I love to see it.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Trev, we have listeners and fans and people who follow along. It's wild.
People who pay attention to you.
So, my friend, let's start with the Traveling Yagers. One of the reasons we're having you on here.
Yeah,
number 68, episode 68. We're over a year in. I mean, you were, there it is. You were on, I think, our third episode, our first guest on a third episode. And I mean, some listeners know the Traveling Yagers. You're kind of hockey famous, but let's start with what inspired you and your buddies to start dressing up as Yarimer Yager and going games.
It goes deeper than that, I guess. Like, honestly, it's a funny thing about sports fandom in Canada. Of course it was hockey based, but, my cousins and I, the Traveling Yagers is mostly relatives and close family friends from like childhood. So from the days where we're watching the Jays win the World Series and those kind of things, right? Like the reality is that, we grew up watching the Blue Jays together. And, at the time, I mean, I'm in my mid 40s. So you didn't have a lot of selection. It wasn't the same as now where you could watch all kinds of sports. You had TBS, so you could watch some Braves games. And then you had, TSN at the time. And, so really we grew up watching sports together and just had fun with that. Like all of us played sports at a fairly high level. So, that was tantamount to success with the Traveling Yagers, because what we knew was you could just be a good super fan, if that makes sense, instead of the idiot super fans. Like we never went and we didn't chase autographs or any of the stuff that is just sort of, if you're in the same room, you might get one, you know what I mean? But like even this jersey, we went to Czech Republic, I buy this jersey out of the store and I'm hanging out with Yager. And I'm just like, hey, how come this jersey wasn't signed? And then didn't get it signed either, right? Yeah. Like, I was just teasing him. And it was more important to be in the moment and hang out with him than to worry about a signature or anything like that, right? Like, so.
Buddy, that must have been so surreal to just be standing next to Yager.
I hate to be complacent with it now, but, like, we hung out a lot. I mean, so we're buddies ostensibly. Like I'm not gonna call him up or anything like that, but like if we're in the same room, we're on the same page, we're just telling old stories and laughing and having a good time, right? So like really that's where the Traveling Yager started. Was my cousins and I we went on this annual golf trip to Phoenix and Vegas and stuff, and the second half of the trip in Vegas was always Halloween. So we had gone a couple years, and you know, we were the sexy NFL refs for the first couple years, like with way too short runner shorts and like high socks, because we were taking sexy back from the girls. You know, that was the joke all night. So, you know, we had that sense of humor in this group costume, and after we'd gone for a couple years, we figured out quickly that you sort of need two different outfits for the whole weekend, right? Because there's just Halloween parties all weekend and they're giving away thousands of dollars and stuff. And while we never held out hope for that, the necessity of having a second group costume is what led to the Joggers, right? At the time, he's played for six NHL teams, and my cousin's on Alibaba ordering knockoff jerseys and stuff like that. Nice. So everybody goes down to Vegas. I actually had to miss that trip. It's my one Jogger trip that I missed. And they just had a great time. And then what happened was we ended up having a guy in the Oilers head office. And when he was playing with Philly, they were coming through that sort of that next year. And, you know, my cousin's kind of a goofball. He's like, what if we just go to a game dressed like this? So they went to a game in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And at that game, they had a bunch of pictures that they'd taken in Vegas, and they got Jogger to sign all of them and that sort of thing. So that was sort of the impetus of it. And then the NHL went on strike. So the next year was really our coming out party, was that return from the strike year in 2013, right? So like it was a condensed season, so it was really weird. Now what that added was the opportunity for us was, as I said, we're all sports fans, but now the NHL schedule went into April. So Joggers with Dallas at the time, and I'm Dallas Jogger, you know, with the group. You got the short haired mullet because, you know, at the time he's sort of wearing like a tighter. And so we called it Modern Yogs, and we're just having fun with it, right? We're making it all up as we go, of course. So Dallas was coming to Calgary, and my cousin calls me, and I wasn't into it. Like, that was the thing. It was like, remember when baseball went on strike and there were scabs? Like, I was like, God, these billionaires are fighting with millionaires for my money. I'm done with them. I'm going to protest it by not going this year. So my cousin calls. He's like, hey, we're going to do the Jogger thing at the Dallas game. One of the guys grew up with Jay Bomeister, so Bomeister's got his lower bowl tickets for the game. I need a Dallas Jogger. What do you – I'm in, right? Like he's going, we're all going, you got to come. And I'm going, no way. Strike shortened season. This is bullshit. And then he goes, it'll be fun. And I just came, right? Yeah.
Like, in the first... you had me with fun.
It was, yeah. So in the first game, you'll actually, if you look back, like, I'm not going to say traveling Jogger fans, but it, like there's enough pictures and stuff that if you look back, I'm wearing like a shitty men's league Stars jersey from like hands down the chippiest, shittiest men's team I ever played for. And then my Jogger is just taped on and it says Yogs, not Jogger. Right. So we're dicking around. So I started the Twitter handle that night just because I knew that, hey, this might be funny and there'd be a few pictures out of the deal, right? We didn't really anticipate anything else, but there's six of us dressed like Jogger and it's pretty funny and we're having fun with it. So pregame, we go down to the Sheraton in Calgary, which is kind of where teams stay. And we're just having beers, you know, it's going to get loose at this. And we, our buddy's the manager. So we're having drinks.
And you're in costume at this point?
Yeah, we're full geared up, right?
We're full yoggered, yeah.
And the best part, my cousin's playing senior hockey for the Innisfail Eagles at the time, and so we've got their team van, and they're just like, whatever. You know, they're senior hockey team, so they don't really care. Any publicity is good publicity sort of thing. So my aunt actually drives us all down responsibly, of course. The traveling yoggers, we're all about responsibility. So drives the team van down, and we're all dressed like morons, really, at the end of the day. And we're sitting in the Eau Claire Sheraton having a pregame beer. And all of a sudden the Stars start coming through, right? Like all the Dallas Stars start coming through and they're howling, you know? Yeah. And I guess like the funny part of this story is that for the entire time, we kind of had all these near misses with Jogger, because Jogger takes the cab to the game, not the team bus, because he's out on the ice an hour early and, you know, just stuff like that, right? So anyway, Yager's looking for us. Michael Ryder's actually asking. He says, he's like, hey, Yager's looking for you guys. Come out here for a picture. So we're taking pictures with all the Dallas Stars at the time and stuff. And then the PR guy from the Stars comes up and he's like, ah, Yager just left, but we want to get a picture with you at the game. And he looks at my jersey and he's just like, we got to get you a real jersey. I'm like, well, I'd be open to one. Just grab one. Like, we just threw this together on a whim. It's funny. So anyway, we wheel down to the Saddle Dome finally, and we've been taking pictures along the way, and the Twitter account starts going. And at the time, social media is, it's not what it is now, right? Yeah. So, you know, we just kind of, I wasn't promoting it per se. It was just a place to collect pictures because I knew people would be into this, right? So we're taking pictures of the train ride down and doing little things like that. And then when we got there, this is the first time where we kind of recognized, hey, we can get on TV with this pretty easy. Yeah. So we all sit in sort of the order of teams that he was in. And the Sportsnet cameras find us right away.
Oh,
and,
you know, like, of course.
And actually, I think it was TSN covering the game. So they take the picture and we do the salute. And it's sort of that would be the infamous picture of us all doing the salute, right? That circulated for years and years. And so we were in the lower bowl and we just go to the game. And honestly, it was a really good game, but we're so drunk that it was a Wednesday night game. And like, I had to watch the highlights the next day just to, you know, because people are having fun and they're taking pictures with us. And we're just, you know, we're just having a good time. It was a great sort of boys night, you know, like fun.
It's so wild, buddy, that how unintentional all of this stuff wound up happening to you. Like, you wound up on hockey night in Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you wound up in the Czech Republic. Like man, it's unbelievable. Like a regular.
And I mean, honestly, to this day, so the traveling Kucherovs in this Stanley Cup final, the last time Yager played in the NHL was 2017. In the Stanley Cup final this year, the guys calling themselves the traveling Kucherovs, which
right.
There's been plenty of groups that sort of, took the name the traveling X, right? Like, but, you know, it's funny because in being able to think back on it, like the crossover of social media and fandom and everything was really, we're the impetus for the NHL in particular. We have a strong relationship with the NHL, and the NHL in particular was all of a sudden less threatened by the idea of fans being involved in that way.
Right.
Like, we're in the 100 years of hockey from Sports Illustrated, and it's like a kid's book and that sort of thing. And it talks about fandom and how the fans are. And so there, of course, there's this picture of us just at a game. Everybody's standing up. Everybody's sort of having fun. It's one of the only pictures where nobody has a beer in their hand, I'm pretty sure. Right? Literally, you know, one of those things.
They had to hunt for that pick, eh, bud?
Yeah, it's closer to true than it's not, for sure. But, you know, like, I mean, that was the fun of it, was that we realized quickly that fans liked it and we had to be somewhat fan friendly, I suppose. And that's what it was about, right? We knew it wasn't our fame. Like I always said, we're just piggybacking on Yager's fame. Like, how cool is it that like he's that famous that we get a bit of a spotlight from that, right? So like, anyway, that first Dallas game was just a blast as guys. You know what I mean? Like, it was like the best stag you'd ever been on, or like a little thing like that. So about a week later, my cousin and I, we lived about a block apart. And we grew up living about a block apart. And then we just happened to find that in our place in our lives, we were living a block apart again. So we're just hanging out, watching a hockey game. And he's like, hey, man, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And I was like, yeah. And so he says, wouldn't it be weird? Like, what if we went on the road? You know, just one road game, right? Like, just one, we just show up in Dallas. And so we started talking about this. And then the next day I get this call from one of the other guys, and TSN had picked it up. So TSN had just started their social media arm. And Kate McKenna, she, I don't know if you guys have heard of her, but she's done, she does CFL. She's great. Like, yeah. Kate was, yeah, we can't say enough about, like, she sort of identified it. Social media was really, really new. She did a social media story about it. And now, like, every time I see, I think it's Melissa Ribeiro or whatever on TSN that does, like, the TSN social media feed, like, it's now a legitimate media source. Yeah. And look at the popularity you guys have enjoyed, right? Like, that from that time to now has changed so drastically, really. So that's 2014 at the time, or 2013 at the time. So like in 8 short years, right? Like the way that people use social media and everything has completely changed
drastically.
Sports fandom, right? So, well, even look at, you guys reference Blue Jays Twitter all the time, right? Which is sort of the go-to source for fans to get quick information.
Exactly.
They then go out and find out more information about, right? So anyway, so TSN does this little article, and it's popular. And like for a week, we're seeing ourselves on TV everywhere because everybody thinks it's a hilarious stunt and it's just funny and well delivered. So TSN wants to do trade day with us, trade deadline day. And we're like, of course you can come, like, set up some cameras in the living room. We'll make it fun, right? Like, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And just, they know we're not professional broadcasters or anything. So we're not going to be relied on to carry the show. We're going to have to bring some fun energy and whatever. But
the guys in the mullet wigs aren't pros.
But the funny thing about it is, you know, flash forward 4 years later and I'm on NHL Live doing drops for like our next marketing side. And, you know, I'm talking to the panel there and I end up on NHL Live for a while, you know, like a couple different times, Hockey Night in Canada. Like, we ended up doing so much media that you had to be good at media, you know. And luckily my jobs had actually allowed for some media training and everything too, so it was kind of a funny way of everything sort of coming together, right? So anyway,
and I love how you kind of took the lead on it. There were a few guys in your group that you're like, okay, you guys just keep your mouth shut.
Well, it got to a point where, like, I mean, these were all just excuses to drink beers with your friends. Like I said, like almost every time was the greatest stag party you'd ever been on. You know, like that was all it was. And I mean, when fans start recognizing that you're the guys and whatever, but honestly, so that was the first game was February, and then by time we had left for the Boston trip was probably end of March. So like within that month, like people just they just fell out about it all, right? Like the highlight of the first game was on for weeks. Like people were just blown away that somebody was that creative, because we had like hockey pants and the whole bit. Yeah. And so, you know, that's what I had said to my cousin was, I just said, hey, let's just do it right. If we do it right, then that's going to be the thing that is fun about this, right? Like, you know, we're going to wear actual hockey gear and we're going to do, you know, have the actual jerseys and stuff. So we start planning for this trade deadline show. And I mean, it's tight, right? So like all of a sudden, Jágr gets traded like 5 days early. So I get this message. He's going from Dallas to Boston, and I get this message like, well, we're going to have to kill that story because Jágr's already gone and it doesn't really make sense. And I go, I get it, but we're already past that story. I said, we're going on the road, right? So
yeah.
They kind of perk up, and I said, hey, Kate, why don't you ask your news team if you can meet us in Philadelphia? We're thinking about doing this rundown to Philadelphia, and we had planned out this pretty – it was an epic guys trip, right? Because, we think this is the one time we're going to ever do this. That's it. We're going to blow it out. So – we start planning and
before the Czech Republic.
I've been the travel coordinator for every trip, right? So like I start looking and anytime I've traveled, like I'm a sports fan, so I'm looking for sports. Like, give me a reason to go watch live sports somewhere. Let's do this. So I start looking, and now, like I said, there's a crossover, and baseball season's already started. Like, by the time we go, it's the end of March into April. So, like, you know, I'm looking for as much baseball as I can handle. Yeah. We're going on an East Coast swing. So we go Philly. Oh, man, it was crazy. We did 6 baseball games and 3 hockey games in 9 days.
Oh, my God.
So it was just – it was epic, right? So yeah. We fly into Philly the first night. We catch the Phillies Cardinals. Now, like, I'm a – I've always been a fan of the Cardinals, like, the organization. Like, my great-great-grandfather had a cup of coffee with the Cardinals, right?
Right. So
it's great to see them in Philly. And Philly – I mean, as far as the sports city goes, for it to be the first one on our trip, like, it still ranks in the top 3 for me, right? Like, because of the way they're set up. So they got baseball, hockey, and football, right? All in the same spot. So, and basketball, I guess, for that as well, right? So, like, they've done it right. There's 3 stadiums. There's a huge bar in the middle that services all the stadiums. Like, it's epic.
Yeah.
So, we pull into Philly that night, watch a baseball game, get in the car in the morning, and we drive down to Baltimore, catch the Jays against the Orioles, right? Like, it's – or no, sorry, Dodgers against the Orioles on the Sunday, and then the Jays are coming to town.
Nice.
So it's just like we don't have to be back in Philly until Tuesday. So we hang out. We go to a couple games, see the Jays on the coldest night I've ever watched baseball, but in Camden Yards, right? Like, an epic field. Oh.
It's incredible. You know,
we're having a great time doing that. We pull back up to Philly, and now we got a hockey game, so we kind of got to get our heads in the game. Well, half of us had gone down early, and half of us had come late, and all the guys coming late, my other cousin had thought he was booked on this flight. And so, like, this is just the madness of trying to organize cats, right? Like, he misses a flight in Chicago, so we're 1 yogger down for the start of, like, the Philly game.
I love the way you put that. We're 1 yogger down.
Which is traditionally, like, that's totally a thing all the time, right? Like, if you go through all the pictures, there's usually 1 yogger missing because he's out grabbing beers, or he's waiting in line in the bathroom, or whatever it may be. So anyway, the TSN crew is with us that night. And I don't know if you guys, like, in terms of sports fandom, there's a guy from remember when the Russians did, like, the Red Army team came over to play against NHL teams, and they were just stomping NHL teams. Like, they were a juggernaut. So this is before Russians are playing in the NHL and everything, right? And so, like, the sports history of it really, I think, lent to, like, it lent credence to our legitimacy at times, because we know hockey, right? Like, we were hockey fans, and we were good hockey fans. So we end up meeting the sign guy from so in this series, the Russians are rolling through all these NHL teams. Then they come to Philadelphia, and it's Broad Street Bullies days. And so they come into Philly, and they start out strong. And the sign guy's got this Russian sign made and everything. Like, and at the time, you're talking about sort of the end of the Cold War, right?
Yeah.
So, like, or the midst of the Cold War, really. And so it's just kind of strange. But this guy, he gained fandom from that. And he's just a staple in Philadelphia. So anyway, we end up running into this guy, and we're sending live feedback to TSN. This is before Jay and Dan went to Fox. It's like their last 2 weeks. So we're doing live shots in between and whatever else. And then everybody gets there, and we do all this, like, pregame press and stuff. Like, they did it right. It was crazy. We get let into the stadium early and stuff. And then we anoint the new traveling Yager, which was Boston Yager, like, on the spot. So yeah. NHL.com's there. And we just kind of – the pageantry of it was – it just fit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody knew what we were doing. We didn't know what we were doing. We just kind of made it all up along the way. And it just worked, right? Like, it worked. And we had fun with it. And we were fun guys. So,
oh, buddy, it looked like a blast. Like, you see the pictures, and you see you guys out on the road and stuff. And it just, like, obviously, like,
I say the only mistake we made is I spelled traveling with two L's because we're Canadian.
Yeah.
Right. And I did that because we were Canadian. Like, to me, it was a branded idea. And we blew up in the States first, because that game, what we didn't know was it was Reagor's return to Philadelphia. It's a Tuesday night game.
Yeah.
So it's the NBC national hockey game. So they get us right away. And in the first minute, Boston gets scored on while Yager's on the ice. And what everybody's laughing about is the whole crowd in Philly. Like, Philly's got crazy fans, right? Threw batteries at Santa Claus. You know, like, they're ravenous sports fans there. The whole crowd is up and we're just all seeing. And so the social media girls get taking a video of us just like the crowd going wild and we're all sitting there like this, right? And so Boston loses. Like, we take the L in that one. But by the end of it, we're partying with all the locals. Like, we shut the arena down that night. Two lost phones, like, just like madness, right? We had such a great time. And it was just, you know, it was great. So we still had half of our trip to go. Like, that was the first day for half of our guys. So the next day we go to another Phillies game. They're playing, it was after McCutchen won the MVP, so sweet, he went yard that night. Like, that stadium in Philly is unreal, baseball stadium. Like, oh, really, it is. I didn't know how gorgeous it was until I was there, right? And so then we end up back in Washington, and like, you know, we end up hitting, I forget what it was. It was like six cities and nine games, you know, three hockey games, six
and
baseball
games. This is one thing that baseball fans in that East Coast area take for granted is how many stadiums and how many cities within an hour or two that you can go hit. Yeah. Like, I know I did Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, and they're all like just an hour's, you know, nothing. Beautiful.
Well, that was the crazy thing, right? So like, even with that one, we ended that trip. So we go to Boston and we don't even have tickets. And like, you know, it was just a funny confluence of everything. So we met Barstool, like, we had the Rear Admiral from Barstool before they were Barstool, really Barstool. Like, they were just popular in Boston and stuff. And so one of the funny things about the traveling Yagers that people really don't understand is I had a nonprofit background. So we did a lot of charity work. So in that first trip, we had tickets. So we'd bought tickets to all the games that we needed to, except like the Boston hockey game. And then we had Red Sox tickets the night of the hockey game in Boston. And that one was weird because it was just a couple weeks after the Boston bombing. So everything was a little weird, and they'd had delayed games earlier in the season. Like, this game wasn't even scheduled. It was rescheduled, the one in Boston. So we all grew up in our community. We were all the Bruins. So like, the trip to Boston was kind of like a homecoming trip too, right? Anyway, we get there and we've got these tickets for the baseball game, but we're trying to go to the hockey game. So I had talked to this PR agent, like, because that game was on nationally televised on the Tuesday, fans in Boston were like, we hope these guys are coming. And now I'm on Twitter. I'm working Twitter, right? Like, yeah we're coming, like, you know, meet us up. Where are the good bars to go to? Whatever it may be. So we end up at this party that's like a sports party, but they're doing a fundraiser for victims of the Boston bombing. So It's kind of heavy, you know what I mean? Yeah. And this is like very, very fresh. Like we're talking within 2 weeks. So we roll into this party, and as you can expect, nobody knows how to react in this party because it's somber, but you're trying to have a good time and get people some energy and stuff. Right. And so we blaze into this party, and I'm talking to the person who's running it, and she's sort of connected through the sports scene. And I'm trying to figure out a way to get tickets. I'm like, I'll give you these eight. We got eight Red Sox or six Red Sox tickets that you can give away tonight. And let's get this thing going. So we walk through the doors and we auction these things off. And like, they go for $200 over price or whatever. And you know, it all goes to charity. And we have to like whisk these people out of there and send them to the baseball game. Well, we just go and bang six beers at the, like, every Yager chugs a beer, and we gotta go. So we spend a total of 8 minutes at this, like, party. But we end up going to the hockey game and finding tickets and just doing our thing and whatever. And I get this text from the organizer later, and she's just like, thank you. She goes, you guys made that whole thing work. Like, if it weren't for you guys coming in the way, like the blaze of glory for 8 minutes that you sat with us.
Yeah.
People just say
loosened right up, eh?
Yeah. Raising thousands of dollars for, you know, the victims and stuff and everybody. It's sports oriented. Well, the thing about that was now all of a sudden Barstool knows we're good dudes. So they write like a little blurb about it. And again, this is still, it's the local Boston sports blog kind of thing, right? Like sports blogs really blew up in Boston because of Barstool, and then everybody else sort of piled on a little bit. So, you know, we just made the right connections all along the way, really, right? Is the crazy thing. And for the rest of that trip, like the final day, rough. So, you know, we've been drinking and traveling hard, right? Like it's planes, trains, and automobiles, literally. Like we've taken the train from Philly to Boston, and, you know, like we've seen all the East Coast and everything. And so the last day we're flying out of Boston, we fly into Washington and we go to the Saturday baseball. So it's Votto versus the Nationals. So this is still, I mean, Harper's very young at the time. Yeah. He goes yard, Votto goes yard. So like, what more could a sports fan ask for when it comes to that? Like, I saw my Canadian guy hit one, and I saw Harper, who, I mean, I don't like Harper particularly.
No,
but
still, that's cool.
He's a generational player, and it's cool to see him, you know, in the moment that you're there, right? So then we go to the Capitals game that night, and I'm falling asleep in the stands. Like, it's been a long, hard 9 days. Yeah. We fly out first thing the next morning and stuff. And just the funny part about it all is that Boston loses all three games that we go to, right? Like, they don't, Jágr got, I don't think he got any points. Like, it's just like, but it was great to see it all, right? Yeah. You know, we got to experience the fans, and the fans did react to us in a way that we sort of anticipated. So that was the first time that we understood, like, that people took thousands of pictures. I mean, the night we went to the Bruins game, our usher, like, so we couldn't get tickets together. We were in two sections, but after the first period, the usher in the one section was just like, yeah, of course you guys can all sit together. I'll clear space for you. So what ends up happening is he does that, and then he's taking pictures of us. Well, guess who we sit beside at the Red Sox game the next night? The usher from our row.
Oh, there you go.
So as we sit down, he's already drunk. Like it's not even had a couple drinks. He's wasted.
Right. And he's like, I watched these guys the night before. I know to fit in, I better get on it.
he opens it. Like, we're all in street clothes at this point, and there was a debate whether we should wear the jerseys to the Red Sox game. And we're like, you know, whatever. We'll just go and enjoy it. And we go to get into our seats, and he goes, Jesus titty fucking Christ, boys, we're going to have a great time tonight. This is the opening line, right? So I just lean over and I go, oh, man, you're what we needed right now. You know, like, it's a little bit rough. We were out in Boston streets until 4 a.m. last night, and this guy's having a good time. It's a Friday night Red Sox game. We're watching Bedard was throwing against Dempster. So two Canadian starters, like, what are the chances of that, right? All Canadian guys there. So as we sit and I talk to this guy, and this guy's like, hey, where are you guys from? And I was like, oh, we're all Canadian. And he goes, you're Canadians fans? And I go, yeah, big Canadians fans. So Adam, that was for you. I got into it just enough with him being in Boston, right? Yeah, but again, perfect. Sports fan knowledge of the situation was, okay, I can rib this guy a little bit.
For sure.
And I go, no, I'm just teasing you. And I go, but did you guys watch the Bruins game last night? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, well, we're those Jágr guys. And he goes, shut the fuck up, right? And he pulls out his phone, and he's got all these pictures of us.
Oh, hilarious.
I'm the amazing usher from your row. And he goes, my buddy, because they've got an usher's union, right? Like a ticket taker union. So he's like, my buddies are trying to get us box seats on the first base line. So he's like, you guys are in. If we get these, you're in.
Yeah.
Off he goes into the night, and he ends up getting these box seats. And then he texts his buddies, and they're just like, sorry for him. He's, you know, like he's wild, but he'll probably get us seats on the first baseline. And he's like, he texts back later. He's like, yeah, he completely forgot about us. They're just getting wasted in a box somewhere. Like, we're stuck here and stuff. So, you know, like, I mean, sports fans are sports fans, whether it's hockey or baseball or whatever. So, you know, like, I mean, the whole thing was really – it was about that. It was about interacting with people and meeting people from all over the place. Like in the Philly game, we met two guys that wanted to fight Sean Couturier because he kind of slighted us a little bit. And, you know, just Jágr himself carried enough weight for us not to get beat up in Philly. So anybody who's been to Philly and tried to wear another team's jersey there, Jágr, we had a New York Rangers Jágr at the time. Like, that is a punishable offense by maybe pushing that guy down the stairs, really. Like, Philly fans, Philly cops might not even arrest you for that. Like, I'm not even like, that's a joke, but not a joke. Like, it was pretty intense. And, you know, we just had this amazing time and amazing guys trip, right? So, you know, that's the first trip. And how do you ever follow that up? It's something we never really anticipated. And then, you know, after that, we kind of went to any games that were local and, you know, we were always there. Right. So like in Calgary and Edmonton, you know, Jágr then moves on to the Panthers, and we're talking to, you know, I'm on Twitter again. Twitter connects me to one of the owners of the Panthers. And then we start doing things like find the local traveling Jágr in Florida. And, you know, we end up in Florida for a couple years and New York City for a session. You know, we go to Pittsburgh. It was unbelievable. And honestly, you know, the wives and girlfriends should probably get a little hat tip because they did tolerate this into our late mid 40s.
Yeah, they're the real heroes in this story. Let's be serious.
I did turn around and go to Czech Republic in that one year, right? Like, and I gotta say, my wife tolerated that for some reason, but you know, it was a hell of a ride. I mean,
Trev, the whole story is awesome. Like, just how it all came about, how it like really put a light on the fandom of Jágr and just like how much clout he had as an athlete, even, you know. I'm going to take a left turn here because I know that you've got a hard out here in about 15 minutes, and I do want to talk some baseball with you here. The Toronto Blue Jays, buddy. All of a sudden, this team is legit. Is that fair to say? Am I fair to say they are legit?
It's not just legit. Like, I was prepping this side of it for today to talk to you guys because we haven't talked in a while. And honestly, like, the excitement that they've got going, the one thing that I've been laughing about is the home run jacket, because the home run jacket only exists if you're winning the way they're winning right now. You know what I mean? Like, so it is fun to see that energy and that participation, but in the same token, it's part and parcel with what we're talking about. Like, the social media team of the Jays is doing a really good job right now of connecting to fans the way that we connected to fans, I guess. Right. Like, it has really allowed for, like, obviously that social media person's right on the bench. Right. Like, and they're capturing like at bats and just those moments. I don't know if you guys saw Manoah last night after the game. He was just like, Toronto, you brought the heat, right? Yeah. Like, keep going. But that's what that team's feeding off of now, is that excitement of being home. And I mean, we've been home for a week, right?
Like, 7-1. They're 7-1.
Well, and they're keeping pace with the Yankees, which they needed to do, right? All those teams that made big deadline deals, where Toronto made small deadline deals. We're still on a wait and see about the one, of course, with our mortgaged future for our current. But, you know, like, they're winning. And what are we going to argue with the energy that brings to – the country, which is that's the unique part about the Blue Jays, of course, too, right?
Yeah.
That baseball people in the know will They'll notice that, right? Like, that's the – I'm waiting for my group chats to get a little bit more Blue Jay-oriented and focused, because that's going to be the thing that comes next, really, right, is that people are really going to watch these games. Because the way they're
gaining
is
fast, too, man. Like, coming out of that trade deadline, like, such a big acquisition in Jose Berríos. The fact, like you said, they mortgaged the future a little bit, but this team is better because of what they
did. Oh, yeah. No, 100%. And not just that, like, they're – did you guys see the nightclub thing?
Yeah.
I think
Turn the clubhouse into, like, Noah's a Instagram dance bar.
Story, right?
Like, that's just – so, like, I just told you a whole story about the confluence of all these events that make for one thing that just works. And that's what it is right now, right? Like, they're just having a good time. They're having fun playing good baseball. They're understanding the gravity of needing to win the moment. So maybe last year's shortened season helped that, you know, in some ways, because they didn't have to carry that over 182 games last year. They knew they had a short period. And one of the things I've always said about, like, men's baseball is we do better with tournaments because it teaches you to win on a condensed schedule, right? And it teaches you to come together and have those moments where you're drinking with your friends or, like, whatever it may be. And then everybody sort of gets on the same page and it lines up. And that when that works with your talent, forget about it, right? Like, you get the traveling Yagers out of something like that. Make no mistake, we had the talent for gabbing and interacting with people and all that, and that's what helped us be successful. Well, with the Jays, they've got all this, like, baseball talent, but it's coming together to inform them how to win. So even if they don't win this year, they know how to win, and they know how much fun and how much energy and how much, you know, excitement that brings.
And you can tell how infectious this fun atmosphere is. Like, you watch, you know, like, Marcus Semien is a pretty straight dude, right? Like, he's a all business kind of guy.
I'll only be here for one year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and, you know, like, we've talked in our group chats, like, maybe they do re-sign him now, because why would you look to a piece outside that has to fit into this when you've got the piece who is a big part of this, right? So, like, maybe that changes the way that signing even looks in the future. And honestly, if you were to ask me today, if I had to sign him today, sign him to big dollars today, and let's see where we end up, because this seems just a lot of fun to watch anyway, right? Like, that's the coolest part, is that baseball is fun again. And you know, in the midst of everything that's going on with the Olympics, you know, our women's soccer gold is amazing. Historical, but we can't not talk about the Jays in the same breath as, like, an Olympic gold medal.
Yeah, you're right, man.
On a Thursday night win, you know what I mean? Like, they're doing stuff in that stadium right now that I'll argue that part of that is the excitement of coming home and playing in front of your home fans for the first time in 2 years. But they're understanding that the gravity of riding that wave can affect what the outcome of this season is. And not looking back right now.
George Springer doubters are sure eating their words, eh?
Literally, I had a conversation with baseball guys about this yesterday while we were hitting at the cage. Now, side story of hitting on the cage, I almost busted my nose. I'm surprised you don't have two black eyes to look at. And I've been playing baseball for 40 years, literally. And I fouled one off the plate yesterday and smashed myself in the face a la Scherzer Burnett. And I was just like, I looked at my guys and my eyes are water, my nose is bleeding, and I was just like, I haven't seen that in baseball. So that's a fun side story. But literally, that's talk around the cage is just, you know, it's Springer. Hey, remember all those people that thought Springer, oh, what did we do? We wasted the money. He was injured. Well, this is why they waited, right? Like, they got the talent level in the farm and on the big club right now is outrageous. Like, it's outrageous. You haven't even touched the Groshans or any of the, you know what I mean? Like, you've got some exciting young talent. And I think that's why the Austin Martin thing does sort of hurt, was just, to me, he's the piece that hurt, because I was excited that Vanderbilt is churning out these big league stars, not just talent, stars, right? So it was a woulda, coulda, shoulda with that situation. And we've watched guys like Syndergaard go and like become poor, you know, and those and sort I know of things.
Adam and I have talked about this a little bit, just how and if you look at that trade, Simeon Woods Richardson, his ceiling, right? So if he turns out exactly how you cross your fingers and hope he turns out, he's Jose Berríos.
Right.
So then they basically paid Austin Martin to get
at the time,
to get him right now rather than need to wait 3 years.
Well, and I think
it is a hefty price. It truly is, but maybe it's worth it.
So here's the side that I'll also interject is the Latin energy in the room makes a guy like him coming to the team work even better. Mm. So I think you have a good opportunity to re-sign him because there are other Latin players that are very not just prevalent, but they're contributing, like active members, and there is a good interaction. And honestly,
I love this point, dude.
In baseball, there has to be, like, I don't know why it's not talked about more often. If you look at winning teams, look at the Jays that won the World Series. The 92-93 teams had a Latin influence that is undeniable.
Yeah.
You know, in your Alomars and your secondary players, right? How am I blanking? Manny.
Lee.
Yes. Manny Lee is a secondary player, right? Like, and he was instrumental in winning that season, right? Like, right, and so even last night, that's what I was looking at was like the contribution of a guy like Kelly Gruber, let's say. Kelly Gruber was a good baseball player. He was an above average baseball player. But he wasn't like a superstar.
No.
Like was he an all-star? He had to have been an all-star for a couple years, but
yeah,
like
he was an all-star back in, I think it was 89, 90.
So he wasn't a perennial though necessarily. He was just solid. And honestly, the composition of that where you're getting, I look at Grishik right now as our Kelly Gruber.
Sure, that's a great example.
Right? Like he's a producer, 100%. I watched him hit that double last night at that moment in time. Remember at the beginning of the season, we were talking about like, well, where does he fit in? Is he the odd man out? You know, and you made the call, you know, 40 bombs, like he might really step up. And he has. But that's again my same example of like the guy who feeds off of the energy of the team, right? So he fits in with the Latin ball players. He fits in with everybody, and that's
100%. And I want to build on this a little bit because you're bringing up such a really good point here, Trev. And it kind of stood out to me when they were all mic'd up and they're out on the field, and it just kind of hit me. It's like these guys speak baseball. Like, forget about the language barrier. Like, you see Hinjin Ryu out there joking around with Manoah, who's joking around with Kirk, and they're all, like, you can hear them. They're literally, like, it really blew me away to hear Bo Bichette speaking broken Spanish back and forth between these guys, and they're, like, they're all speaking half English, half Spanish, half, like, they're very opening, and they're just like, we're a team, and we speak baseball. Forget about the language.
Spanglish,
it gives me goosebumps
here. It's everything. Yeah. Well, but that's the coolest part. So I'll circle back to the home run jacket. And the reason I like the home run jacket is the home run jacket represents all the countries that compose Canada plus the team plus, you know, like this energy that we're feeling. So, you know, realistically, like, I would like to see this team on the field together again next year, no matter what happens, right? Like, and that's a really cool place for us to be in as Blue Jays fans in that way is that, you know, realistically, this is a team that they can win. They can win together. Man, that Red Sox, they beat the Red Sox last night. Yeah. Let's not mistake. And if you understand the ebb and flow of a baseball season, they are starting to, the engines up on a run in the stretch now, right when they need to, right? This is the kind of thing where you can get hot now. I don't think that their energy will wane because what no other team in the big leagues has right now is A, a country behind them, and B, like fans that haven't seen them in 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's not gonna, it was weird because about 3 days ago I was looking and they were selling tickets. Like they were still like, hey, it's okay, come to the games. If they keep doing this, you're gonna have to turn people away. Like they're, you know what I mean? Like it that's, well,
I listened to Manoa on that press conference yesterday after the game, and he literally, you could just tell his excitement was palpable, and he was so pumped, and he was just like, I can't even imagine this place with 50,000 people. He's right. Like, this is a madhouse, and we've got 50,000? And he's like, I can't even imagine tripling this. Like,
listen, and it is the most uncomfortable stadium I've ever been to. So, like to have that level of excitement in that type of
in a cement bunker for sure.
It's still like, you know, and it's still a cool, kitschy kind of place. Like, yeah. I think we're ready for a new one, but you know, that's not going to be the thing that is a detriment to this team right now. It is the understanding and the catching the energy of, you know, a Toronto fan base that they're coming off a recent NBA championship even, right? So they also know how to win and how to party in the win and all that kind of stuff. So like that could make things really interesting if they just get into the wild card spot, right? Like,
you know what I really liked about yesterday's win against the Red Sox was it all started with the bottom of the order.
Right.
Three straight doubles. And that's one thing that this team, I mean, we keep talking about talent and how stacked this team is. I think, honestly, right now, we probably have a top 10 rotation in the league. Probably a top 10 bullpen. Easily top 3 batting order. If not, maybe the best batting order, right? Yeah. You could argue we have the best hitters in baseball.
I sent you those stats the other day. I think we were second.
Yeah. And like, we are, I think, top 3 right now in run differential across the entire MLB. So the only thing that we're missing out on is instead of winning 16-1, we need to start winning those 5-4 games.
Right. And, well, yeah, the one run games that are, and those are tantamount, those are team games too, which is a nice, like that's sort of a nice thing, right? Is that I got to vote 5 extra minutes, but it's the nice thing right now. And that's what I'm talking about with the Grishik double. Like that's what stood out to me there. And the equivalence to Kelly Gruber. Gruber was that guy, man. He'd hit a bomb or a triple in the right moment.
Yeah.
And like, you'd look back at the line and he'd be 1-for-4, but the right one. And honestly, like as a baseball player, here's the argument is, the right one can get you in the Hall of Fame at 3 at-bats. And if you're a bottom-of-the-order guy, right, you're not going to be there for long if you contribute that way night in and night out. So, you know, having an understanding of what it means in that moment, that's what resonated with me, was Grishik knew he needed to get a hit and a double was even better. You know what I mean? Like it was just, they just, you stack on wins in that way in terms of wins in the game.
And we're all talking about it here, but this bottom of the order, I mean, the fact that Gurriel is hitting 7th and you get to watch him
happily,
like it's crazy. It is,
And what strikes me about that too is that he's not pouting and hitting 7th. Because I can tell you this, in men's league, my guy put me 7th 2 weeks ago, and I'm fine with it now because I was like, "Fuck you!" Like I'm a men's guy. So then all of a sudden, like, man, I hit 2 doubles, 2 bombs, you know, like just stuff like that after that because it was like you forgot who I was, but. You know what I'm saying? Like he is perfectly, when you also look ahead of you and you see that big picture, he's having such a good time. He didn't get traded, right? Like because his name was in those trade talks and everything. So like that affects anybody.
I think that's a huge thing. I think you're bringing up something that's massive with this team dynamic right now, which is that this team did not lose members. Right.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they traded Martin and they traded Woods Richardson, but these are guys that weren't on the squad.
No. And let's face it, Gurriel earned that spot, right? Like, yeah. He really did. He turned his defense around. He brought his hitting. He is a seven-hole hitter. He really is. Like, you know, he can have flashes of middle of the order.
Right.
But he's a seven-hole hitter who, in the future, I'd see him slotting in into maybe – he could be a two-hole hitter. He could be. Yep. You know what I mean? He's got speed, and he's got – he can handle the bat. Like, you know, if he had any aspirations, if he had aspirations, he could get there, right? That's the – to me, that's the excitement of this team, is that there's places where guys could work on things to be better, mm-hmm. and the environment is conducive to guys wanting to do that, to be bigger contributors, right? Yeah. So a guy like Gurriel, who's satisfied in the seven hole, but he could be a two hole hitter. That's what, if I was coaching him, that'd be the thing I'd be telling him every day. Yeah. Hey man, show me. I want to put you there. Yeah. And that healthy competitiveness between all these guys will yield a result that is because of the connection. They understand one guy is not going to slight another guy. No. Because I'm saying he's a two hole guy. Fuck, Vladdy's hitting two hole right now. I was looking at the composition of our lineup, and it honestly, you hit a guy like Vladdy two hole because the pitchers have to worry about him earlier. I think this is the only time ever I'm like, our managing is actually on point right now. Like, where I'm like, I can see what you're doing, and I can.
I think 2022 is really going to show everyone exactly what you're talking about, because this batting order could be completely different. It could be a totally different group of guys. We could literally see Gurriel and Bichette hitting 2-3, and guys, you know, a guy like Vladdy hitting fifth, maybe depending on how hot who is lighting the world on fire at that time.
Well, and that's where I'm seeing, like, I want to give Charlie the doubt. You're doing it, but we also know how involved the front office is, and maybe we're now starting to see the sort of, like, hey, we are planning to get to this place sort of idea,
the
right?
The blueprint is coming together. It's being built, exactly.
And that's where I'll say that's the only question mark to me is, like, how is this the real Montoya when he gets the chance to manipulate his lineup a little bit to go with who's hot and whatever it may be, right? Because that's the guy I want to talk to. This guy that's sort of played along, you know what I mean? Like, Scott, the guy I was trying to connect you guys with, it was the strength and conditioning coach of the softball girls, right? Like, we were talking about that, and I think what Canadian coaching misses sometimes is understanding the moments, right, that you hit the gas, and other times where you sort of idle. And, like, right now, that's what I see out of moving a guy like Vlad up to the two hole when he's just – man, he could win the Triple Crown. If Ohtani, like, breaks a nail or gets a blister, you know what I mean? Like – he could just step up into that Triple Crown. He's having an unfathomable – that play he made last night told me everything I needed to see out of Vladdy. You know, and I'm the guy who was like, if he doesn't produce, send him down. I'll own that. I said that earlier before the season started, right? And he's not only done that, he's decided, man, I could be an all-star first baseman.
Yeah.
Right? And he was.
His defense has been incredible. You're right, man.
You know, so he ranges on his backhand and makes a perfect running throw back across his body.
It was crazy.
And hits the pitcher on the run.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was wild.
That's a Joey Votto level first base play.
It was.
And he's done that in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, and that Bo play
even less because they just moved him to first base midseason last year. Like, it is.
But that Bo play across his body too, like running into center field and then throwing back across your body like that. Mm. Like, anytime Adam and I always laughed about arm strength and whatever else. All right. I see you, Bo. And not only that, I see that long hair sliding headfirst into the home plate and smiling and having a good time. Like, this team has an energy that is going to be hard to match up against for anybody. So, you know, it's coming. Like, I'm really looking forward to September because that's when it is, like, you know, now the screws get tightened. I want to see how they do under the pressure because, you know what, some early – it's first week of August wins, right? Like, you're on a roll – but you have to maintain that now. Like, you have.
It's a dogfight the rest of the way. It's going to be fun to watch, man. That's 60, for sure.
60 games left, right? Almost 60 games left. So,
well, essentially, you know, like, playoffs are starting right now. Like, every game matters. This is playoff baseball, matters, right?
It's
so,
fun. It's so
well, and just look at these. Like, when you look at what the Yankees did, plus the Dodgers did, plus the, you know, like, I mean, we're talking about the wood chipper that was the Dodgers earlier in the season. Well, they just improved and they batted down. But the same with the Padres, though. The Padres smelled blood in the water, so they went for it at the trade deadline and made some real improvements, right? Like, we have to play our best baseball to be competitive against those teams. But last night's game and last night's win showed me
very encouraging.
We've got that. We've got that gear still, right?
100%. So, Trev, we'll leave it at that. I know that you've got to get out of here. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
For your
no worries, man. It was fun.
We can't wait to have you back, brother.
Of course. Thanks, boys.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.